Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson taking you to 6 p.m. 610-632-0975. A lot to get to today. Things I want to talk about. I'm sure there may be a few things that you guys may want to talk about. So we'll get to them today. Tom in there producing, Jen Scordo doing updates and doing all kinds of other things that are going to make this day just glorious and fun. It's a glorious day. At least we're going to try to be. So again, anything that the people out there want to talk about, whatever that thing might be, we will absolutely be here as a platform for you. I am going to right now talk about something that I thought would be glorious this summer. I thought it was going to be great this summer. I thought I was going to have a great time. It's going to be so much fun because they spent a lot of money and the Phillies are going to be great this year. I was like, oh man, they spent money. This is going to be a great baseball season. Weather gets warm, it'll be hitting season. And yesterday you get a 90-degree day. And what happens with the Phillies? But they lose again. They lost again. And we'll play that last out in just one moment just to kind of sum it up. Because you can hear it in I feel like in Tom's voice at the end of the game that I think he thought he was going to have a great summer. But we start with the word of the day. And I had to think with the Phillies and what I thought the season was going to be and how I thought the Sixers were going to go, and then the Sixers would go right into the Phillies, and then we have this great summer, and it lead right to Eagles training camp, and they're getting ready, set to be really good. I thought we were about to enter this nice golden era, but instead the word of the day is irritant. This Phillies team at this point is just an irritant. It is as if someone next to you was eating a grapefruit, like on Seinfeld, and a piece of pulp shot into your eyeball, and now you can't get that grapefruit juice out of your eye. That has been the day so far. That has been the season. That has been the Phillies to this point. So if you may, Tom, please, just listen to the final out when they lose last night and tell me that that's not a person who had expectations. And now even he's upset, even though he's with the team every day.
And the ball game is over. Roman Quinn is down on strikes as Alvarez is able to get him on a changeup with the bases loaded. And the Giants win it in 11 by a final score of 7-4. And the Phillies have now lost five consecutive games. It's the first time since August of 2020 that they are riding a five-game losing streak.
Yay. Yay. This is not what we signed up for. They've now become just an irritant. And this was not supposed to happen. And then, just to add a I know there's arguments sometimes. Is it Jimmy's or Sprinkles? It's Jimmy's. Nobody wants no damn Sprinkles. It's Jimmy's. But anyway, the Jimmy on top is, oh, the second baseman who's arguably been their most consistent player because he's been healthy. Harper hasn't been healthy, we know. Oh, he breaks his finger. He gets hit. He's trying to bunt, gets hit by the ball in his finger, right on the knuckle, and now he has a fracture in his finger. So now that adds, and then the medicine for that, oh, Didi's back. Yay! Like, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. When I envisioned this season, I did not envision this. And I have to start asking some questions, like about the manager, just for example. And I'm going to allow people today to fantasy pick a manager. Now, I'll explain why. People have been talking about things. They'll be able to talk about things. But in the particular case, I get emails somehow and tweets about who should be the new manager. And yesterday, someone wrote me multiple times, long, thoughtful emails about how it should be Raul Ibanez. Now, I don't know if Ibanez wants to manage. I don't know if Ibanez is available to manage. I don't know if Ibanez would take their phone call if he called about him being the manager. So I said, so my response was, well, do you know? I haven't found any quotes where Ibañez says he wanted to manage a baseball team. Maybe he wants to spend time with his family now that he's finished playing. He played into his 40s. But I digress for a second. In addition to talking about the irritant that is this Phillies baseball team and how this summer has gone, in addition to all of that, if you want to fantasy pick a manager today, for this one day, because normally I'm not going through this exercise of, because, and here's why I don't do it. It's not because of anything anybody does necessarily wrong, but every year, the first touchdown that the Eagles give up, someone will say that Seth Joyner should be defensive coordinator. And I have no idea if Seth Joyner wants to be a defensive coordinator. Someone will just nominate him. And the first time the Sixers lose a game, if Doc Rivers is back, someone will suggest some ex-player. You know, maybe you got to bring Allen Iverson in and really talk to these guys because they don't really play hard. Even though we have no idea if Allen Iverson actually wants to go to practice. Still, he has been quoted as saying that if he was the coach, his team would never practice. But people will do it. But for one day only, it could be Captain Kangaroo. Who would you like to replace Girardi? Because one of the big things has been, well, you can't fire him because there's no obvious replacement. Even though they keep on losing every single damn game that they play, you can't replace them because who would you have? Well, today's the day. If you think Bugs Bunny, Captain Kangaroo, any Dragon Ball Z characters, whoever you want to be the manager, we're here for you today. 610-632-0975. Now, Tom, you enjoy sports, right?
I do, yes.
That's partially why you work here?
Part of it, yes.
Okay. What kind of summer did you envision for the Phillies versus what we're getting right now?
I envisioned a fun summer of me enjoying every baseball game or majority of the baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
A summer full of home runs.
Uh-huh.
Of big hits and big opportunities.
Yes.
Of 5-game win streaks, 6-game win streaks, 7 of 8. And just like Tom McCarthy last night, I am a broken man, Tyrone. And right now, I hate this baseball team because they drive me crazy. They are bad right now. They are inconsistent. Every little thing that can go wrong seems to go wrong with this baseball team right now. They currently have a worse record than the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are not trying to win.
No, they're trying to lose.
Yes, they're going out of their way to lose. So I was envisioning a fun, exciting summer, and as of right now, I have nothing close to that with this Philadelphia Phillies team.
Well, thank you, Phillies. But hey, and again, I don't actually have anything against Joe Girardi, just was clear. Honestly, I don't. It's just that there were expectations. This team is not living up to said expectations. And the answer from some has been, oh, well, you can't do anything. You got to just leave it. Well, hold on. Why? Jen?
Yes.
Now, Jen, you're our resident Southern Belle.
Yes, I am.
And we really appreciate the kindness that you bring to the station each and every day.
Okay, thanks.
But even you have to be a little bit annoyed or perhaps irritated with these Phillies.
Yes. I remember back when the Schwarber deal happened, Castellanos deal happened, we got so excited here on this program, and we were just waiting for a summer of bombs and dingers and home runs and that it was going to be fun baseball all summer long. And it has not. You know, Tyrone, what I did this past weekend?
What'd you do?
I did not watch the Phillies. If they were on wherever I was, I'm like,
watch, but
all right, cool. That's about it. All right. I have other things to do. And that's terrible. It's a terrible feeling. And I don't want to go all summer like that.
It is June 1st.
Not even technically meteorologic, you know.
Right.
It's not really summer yet.
Days are still getting longer.
Yeah.
And we're already tired of these Phillies.
Really? This is when we start getting excited about baseball.
It should be.
Right.
Yes. And we're already done with this team.
You got kids coming up. College kids have graduated. The elementary, some of the private school kids. Public school will be out either in the next 2 weeks. They'll all be out. Got a couple of weeks left before everybody's in full summer. And already the Phillies have done it. And again, I didn't text Tom McCarthy and ask him. But he just after the game, he sounded like, wait, I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. I mean, I'm going to call the games, but I didn't call. This isn't baseball. It seemed like he thought he was calling darts after listening, after watching the way they lose every darn game. 610-632-0975. One other significant thing, then we'll go to the break. We'll do a bunch of fun stuff today. The Madden cover got announced today. June 1st is kind of the day every year where they officially announce the cover. And this is the first Madden game since the untimely passing of John Madden. And with that in mind, there are now three different Madden covers with John Madden back on the cover. Okay, now, obviously, that's not necessarily big news. They will be giving, EA Sports is going to give $5 million to his John Madden legacy commitment to education. They gave some money, and then they're going to give out to some, College Track, Mission Street, Street Code Academy, Girls Who Code, different STEM-based charities, and also the United Negro College Fund as well. So good on EA Sports. Good on bringing John Madden back. And the fact that there are a lot of people. Hell, do you remember, Tom, Madden calling games?
Not much, no. Very rarely.
This is the
scenario. We're so minimally. Old, Tyrone.
Right,
we're
that's
so
the
old.
Thing. So, and that's not a knock. You were born when you were born. You
yeah, didn't right. pay. Can't
don't,
control that.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Okay,
but
appreciate it
just shows you the impact of the Madden game. So with that in mind, go back to your childhood. All of us, we could do this. In addition to the Phillies and the irritant that they are and replacing Joe Girardi, and we can have as much fun with that as you may want. It can be anybody for this one day. But also, what was your first favorite video game? On the console, your first favorite video game. I was talking to Coach earlier. His was Tecmo Bowl on a Nintendo. Mine was, I think, it could have been Tecmo Bowl. There was also Skate or Die on Nintendo I really liked.
That was fun.
That was a fun game. As far as your first one as a kid. Jen, what was your first favorite video
game? Do you remember when the first Nintendo gaming system came out?
Yeah.
If you paid a little bit extra, you got Super Mario Brothers as
yes, I
what,
got,
like a free game.
Yes, I got. That's the one I got.
So initially, that was my first love. But then shortly thereafter, when you started to build a video game, you know, library, mm-hmm. The original Legend of Zelda probably would beat out.
It's a legendary game.
It's, yeah.
Legendary
that first one,
game.
So good.
And I always thought, because you can name your character.
Yeah.
In my gut, if you name your character Nike, it would go faster.
Oh,
that's
cute.
That's
adorable, Tyrone.
I really thought that. Tom, what was your first favorite video game?
Yeah, so Nintendo 64 was the first official console I owned.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Mario Kart 64. That's the
that
original. It's the best. I still play it to this day. We still have the old system.
Oh, you still have the system?
Every now and then, you know, if you got some friends over, yeah, we'll still play it to this day. It's a great game.
That's pretty cool.
A classic.
Now, I did play that game, even though that was not my first. That was a good game. So, that's what we're going to do today. 610-632-0975. The word of the day is irritant. Tyrone Johnson will be back here on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. 610-632-0975. And now it is time for Jen Scordo to shine as we have What's Brewing with Jen here. What do you have for us today, Jen? I'm sure it's wonderful.
Don't I shine all the time?
I said it's your time to shine.
Right, I shine all the time.
Do you?
Not just at 3:45, Monday through Friday.
You love baby oil.
All right, so we're going to start with the ocean and sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Researchers say that great white sharks may have been responsible for the extinction of the megalodons some 3 million years ago.
Now, hold on. The megalodon was gigantic.
Now, honest to God, I kind of thought the megalodon was just a made-up thing.
No, it was real.
It was actually real.
Yeah. There was fossils found of them.
Right.
Huge. So how did the great whites take them out?
Okay, so here's what happened. Great whites, obviously, are about a fourth the size of the average megalodon.
Uh-huh.
But scientists say that there were the two types of sharks hunted the same prey. Because the great white shark was faster and more agile, it got the food first, and the megalodons died off because of it.
Now, what they should have done was just eat the great whites.
Yeah, I don't know why really they didn't. Them. I mean, is that like them. Cannibalism, though, a little bit?
The sharks could have done that. They eat smaller. Some of them have eaten smaller sharks.
Oh, I guess cannibalism isn't really a thing in the ocean.
It's either cannibalism or just you go extinct.
They went extinct. That's what happened.
On Shark Week, they have shown, one, dolphins messing with great whites like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like they could get close and they could move and they mess with them. Because they're smarter.
They're smart.
And somehow they figured out that they're smarter. See, it's one thing for an animal to be smarter. But I don't know if a dog knows that he's smarter than, like, a hamster.
Right. Well, dolphins know that.
Dolphins somehow, and apparently killer whales, know they're smarter than the shark. And they know they're quicker and more agile. And they mess with the shark.
That's pretty damn smart.
Yeah, like, they know they're smarter. Like, that's the part that's like, what?
It's fascinating to me.
So the great whites got the jump on. Wow.
Yeah, got the jump on.
That actually does make sense, though.
It does, yeah.
Because people, they claim that the great white's like the most perfect killing machine. Like the muscular body, they still have enough size to be big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the way they can breach out of the water and stuff, that they're like the perfect killing machine.
That's scary. So how big is the, like, average great white, you think? Like 10 feet?
Probably 10 feet.
So a megalodon would be at least 40 feet?
Yeah, they were big.
That's big.
Yeah, they were big.
All right.
I'm kind of glad they're gone.
I was just going to say that, Tom.
I beat you to it.
I'm all right with them not being in the ocean anymore. All right, I have two food items.
Okay.
We're running out of Mexican pizza and movie popcorn.
Whoa.
I'm very sad about both of them.
Now, why?
All right, so Taco Bell brought back their Mexican pizza. They originally got rid of it a couple years ago. I believe it was because the packaging was too expensive for, like, they weren't making a profit because it was this little cardboard box. Just figured they could put it in a little sleeve like they do every other taco.
Find something else, yes.
Right. So they got rid of it, and they brought it back on May 19th, and I was so excited because that was just a couple days before my birthday, and I was going to go get one, and I didn't. And now they're out of them. So the demand was 7 times greater than expected, so says Taco Bell. One fan went to a Taco Bell and purchased 180 Mexican pizzas at one time.
Why would you do that?
Because maybe that person knew that they were going to run out of them.
What are you going to do with them?
Put them in your freezer?
180.
There's no way they're that good.
160. I'm saying, let's say 20.
Yeah, 20 is too many.
You put 160 in your freezer? I mean, giving them every benefit. That's a jerk.
More than one, I agree. More than one Mexican pizza is plenty.
Why didn't they say, like, limit 5?
I don't know. Yeah. And then the Wall Street Journal says that movie theater chains are experiencing a movie popcorn shortage due to supply chain issues. That's sad because I want to go see Maverick.
Yeah, I think that one I'm more annoyed about. This movie theater
Mexican
popcorn
pizza.
Is delicious.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't go to a movie without getting movie popcorn.
You have to get popcorn.
And you have to get the large. But the reason you have to get the large, because they make it to where the small is $9.98.
Right.
The medium's $9.99, and the large is $10. For two extra cent, you get the large.
That's just good business.
And some places give you free refills on the large. Not that you're ever going to eat it, but you get free refills.
And Booney adds that everybody has said it's awesome. It broke
Maverick.
All the records. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard nothing bad about it.
Opening by Tom Cruise in his career.
You're going to see it twice, right? Still?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, last weekend was a thing.
It was, yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll go.
A little busy.
Yeah.
A little holiday weekend. I'm still going to see it, though. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm very interested to see where y'all stand on this, because I originally felt one way about it, and now I think I backtracked on it. So Coco Austin, who is married to Ice-T, right?
Yes.
She was slammed for her inappropriate G-string bikini at a water park in the Bahamas, I believe it was.
She posted it on social media. I saw her post it. But I didn't know about a backlash.
She is a quite curvaceous woman.
Yes.
The backlash came from other people seeing the picture and thinking that it was inappropriate for her to have her 6-year-old daughter there and then be around other children. flashing her fanny.
Uh-huh.
I originally thought, yeah, that's pretty inappropriate. She did not break any rules, according to the water park. It just says you have to dress appropriately. It does not specifically say you can't wear a G-string. So she technically didn't break the rules. But then some people came back and said, well, like, all right. So she's got a big bum, and you see it.
Yeah.
So
the,
what?
The other part, though, one, if you watch the social media, that kid, her kid has seen her in the G-string.
Exactly.
Yes, I knew.
Yeah, that I'm not worried about. Yeah, I guess part. I would be worried about the ancillary children sitting around.
Yeah, and Ice-T admitted that he wants her to dress like that.
Yeah.
Like, in addition to, she wants to dress like that.
Right, she wants to as well.
Right, what I mean was, some people might say, well, what about the husband? Husband is beyond on board with it.
Yep.
She just wants to dress like that, but apparently she was not the only one who wore a bathing suit like that. She was the only one built like that.
Gotcha.
Who wore a bathing
suit.
See,
now
like
that's
that.
Not right either. I mean, that's not right.
Because if there's another person across the way with their kids wearing the same thing, but she just happens to have less body. I don't know.
Less,
does that make it more appropriate?
No.
I'm saying if you're wearing the same thing is what I'm saying.
Right.
But is, so your small child could see a smaller woman wearing that, but not a bigger woman wearing that?
That's, you can't have that.
It's either you don't want to see it or, but, I mean, she's not going to change.
And they were.
Coco been doing that for a minute.
Yes.
She's like one of the OG.
She used
to be in the Lowrider magazines and stuff.
Nothing unusual for Coco.
Coco goes back doing that.
And Coco and her daughter had matching bikinis, but the daughter's was
Wasn't inappropriate, right? Just Coco was out there.
A child. Doing nothing different than what she does on a daily
basis.
Now,
that is an interesting thing that we will have to explore, though. About,
okay.
Because we're not parents. About how other people's... Do you care what other people's kids see? Because obviously she didn't care about her own.
Right.
So should she be worried about other people's kids?
Right. Was she worried that other children were going to see her?
And should she? And in general, what other ways should you care about other people's kids? Or is it the parents' job to censor that for their kids?
They're going to see it eventually, one way or another. So she's just accelerating that process, I guess. Just getting it out of the way.
I feel like I could remember. I mean, we can get into this after the break. I feel like I remember being small at a water park and my mom being like, don't look over there. Like, and somebody may have, you know.
Yeah. And then you automatically look over there.
Of course.
I kind of remember that at Darney Park in Wild Water Kingdom.
Right.
As a kid, somebody being, I don't know if it was like that, but it was smaller.
Inappropriate a little bit, yeah.
I don't know.
For a young child, maybe.
Just, and then my dad was like, He's like,
your dad didn't care, did he?
No, he was like, well, they'll get a lesson. Oh, I was like, oh, my God. So everybody's raised differently.
That's true.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6-610-632-0975. It's time to update the Twitter poll before we talk to Jason Stark. And that is powered by Paul B. Moyer Sons of Doylestown, PA. And it's Phillies related. Jen, what are the latest numbers?
It is Phillies related. Was last night your breaking point with the 2022 Philadelphia Phillies? Right now, 12% say no, I still believe. 18%, yes, last night did it. 70%, no, I broke before this.
Great. Well, while the team hasn't been good, this guy's always good. He is the Hall of Famer, and he's brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, Everfresh Nature's Refreshment, the Hall of Famer from The Athletic and many different medias, Mr. Jason Stark. How are you today, Jason?
Tarona, I am good, man. How's everything?
I'm doing all right, and but boy, the Phillies are not, and we need your help badly today. 50 games in, 21-29, three straight extra inning losses. A lot of things have gone wrong so far. Through 50 games, in your opinion, Jason, what has been the biggest problem with this team?
You know, Tyrone, I think it's safe to say they were built to hit. They're built to score. The idea was to apply so much pressure offensively to the other team every night that all these obvious flaws they have don't show up. You know, if you have a lead every night, you can get your best defenders into the game. You don't have to worry that Roman Quinn's going to wind up hitting behind Bryce Harper with the game on the line so that they walk Bryce, right? Right. If you have a lead every night, it means your best relievers get to pitch. James Norwood does not pitch in a tie game. It means you don't have to overwork your best relievers. That was the blueprint, and none of it has happened, obviously. And, you know, there are all these predictive stats that say this team's going to hit. Hard hit rate, line drive percentage, look great in all those. Whatever, because they've already dug such a big hole for themselves. Isn't it hard to look at those stats and say, yeah, they'll be fine sooner or later? It's already later.
Yeah, and that's my concern, Jason. A lot of the fans have called in, and they're not seeing anything. What's going to change in like 3 weeks? Are they going to have this 14-7 stretch where they at least get back in the mix? Because the season, I mean, the division may already be over, unfortunately, but they're still hypothetically in the mix to get a playoff spot. But something needs to change, and these weeks go by, Jason, and nothing changes.
Yeah, you can only dig the hole so deep. And that, you know, that's been the most ominous part of these five games in a row that they've lost is it's been against the two teams they need to catch. The Mets are in first place. The Giants are the third wild card. You got to catch one of those teams if you want to play in October, right? And so the way to catch them is not to lose every game you play to them. And it gets them to a point where they've never recovered. You know, 12.5 out on June 1st. No Phillies team has ever come back from 12.5 games out to make the playoffs. That's never happened. And the list of teams in modern history since 1900 that have been 12.5 out this fast and came back and finished first, there's only two, and one of them was over a century ago. So this is probably a hole that they can't dig out of. But it's weird to say that with 112 to play, because if you think about if they have two great weeks where they go 10-3, all of a sudden they're right back around 500, and you could see a path. But to catch the Mets, I don't see any path to do that.
No, and that's unfortunate. 21-29, as we mentioned, and now Segura out 10-12 weeks with the fractured finger that he sustained yesterday trying to bunt. Jason, when are they going to get some good news?
I'm not in charge of that, you know.
Yes.
Do the math in your head, and 12 weeks gets you to, I think it's the third week of August.
Yep.
Third week of August. You won't see Gene Segura until the third week of August. He was the only player on the field who graded out as a plus defender. He's been their most consistent offensive player. I'm pretty sure he has not gone two starts in a row without reaching base since April. So what he was bringing them is not replaceable. Somebody will play second base every night, but this is a really big blow for a team that's thin enough. They've been relatively healthy around the diamond, except for Didi, right? I don't think Gene Segura is replaceable.
Yeah, that is not good news. And Jason, obviously you've been Hall of Fame baseball writer, but you've been in this city for a lot of years. The more and more, as time goes by, people were trying to talk about with the Eagles, this dream team that really came up short. It's starting to look like it. And you mentioned there's 112 games left, so obviously this can change. But doesn't this team have a bit of that dream team hype feel where this could end up at the end of the day being a disaster?
You know, if you blow through the luxury tax threshold and then have a season like this, that's a disaster. Of course it is. No, you know, nobody spends $238 million, whatever the payroll is right now, to be eight games under 500 on June 1st. You know, I know we're always poking around the idea of whether the manager is in trouble. And I guess I'll answer it pretty much the way I've been answering it all year, which is to say, Dave Dombrowski doesn't tip his hand on stuff like this. I honestly don't get the impression that Joe Girardi is in imminent danger. But if they keep playing like this, you can't rule out anything, can you? I don't know how you could. Then you can't build a team like this, spend the money they've spent, and play this badly and think somebody is not going to pay the price for this at some point.
The question just is, when is that point? We're talking to the Hall of Famer, Jason Stark from The Athletic. You mentioned Dombrowski. Now, let's bypass the manager. A few callers earlier in previous hours were saying, at what point is Dombrowski responsible for this? Now, obviously, the cupboard was left bare by Klintak when he took the job, and that led to having to spend money in order to try to field a competitive team and hopefully a winning team. So far, that hasn't worked out. Is there any pressure on Dombrowski specifically to make good on the large amount of money he spent of the owners this offseason?
Well, there'll be pressure from the callers to this station, but I don't think he's under any pressure from the owner, if that's what you mean. I would look at what Dave has done this way. He's had two off seasons to build. Right? And neither one has been normal. First one didn't get hired till almost December and had to play catch up in every way. And then there was this offseason where he had a lockout, chew up 3 months of the offseason, and he had to do all his roster building in a couple of weeks in March. So I know that there are people questioning the way he's constructed this roster. There's reason to. But we also have to remember the mission statement from John Middleton when he was hired. Don't rebuild, win. Find a way to win now. And what he inherited was a roster that was already defensively challenged. Would have been difficult to blow up that roster without it being a rebuild in the time that he had. So he has leaned into the roster that he already had and try to double down on that. Just go back, build around bats, build around starting pitching, hope that worked. It worked in Detroit in 2012, in 2013, in 2014. It hasn't worked here. But, you know, I've known Dave a long time. I've covered him for a long time. He's won everywhere. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and he hasn't had any sort of normal conditions to work with to build a roster. So I do have some sympathy for that.
For sure. Last thing, Jason, obviously we always appreciate your time, and maybe this could be a hopeful question. There's been quite a few players, at least to fans' expectations, that have underachieved. But that obviously can turn around. If you mention the two good weeks, go 10-3, boom, and the record looks different. You're hot for a couple of weeks, and the batting average and everything else looks different. Which player that hasn't performed that well so far do you think this is just an opinion. Obviously, you're not there. You're not inside their bodies. Would have the best chance of maybe turning it around over the next month or so that July 1st we're saying, wow, such and such had a good month, and now we feel better about at least the player if we don't feel better about the team itself.
Well, Kyle Schwarber last year had an OPS plus of 149. That meant he was 49% better than the average hitter, the average offensive player. And he's right around league average right now. There's a streak in that guy. You know, he had a streak last year. It was May, not June, but a streak like where he hit a home run or two every game. And he was playing on a terrible team in Washington, and they won every night because he carried them. I've waited for Kyle after games where the game is over. He goes to the cage with the hitting coach, and they're in there for an hour after the game, and he cares. He's put in the work trying to find that swing again. He's working with the same hitting coach that he had in Washington. I just think there's a monster stretch in him, and they need it. They need somebody besides Bryce Harper to carry this offense. That's what he's here for. And if he would do it as a leadoff hole, that would also help because they've gotten no on base and no production out of that.
Yes, for sure. He was set to lead off. The reason I say that is since we've been on the phone, Jason, Bryce Harper now scratched from the lineup. No official word why. So the hits keep on coming. I think they're saying right forearm soreness. So enough, more bad news to go with the Phillies. So they're absolutely going to need him, and it would be really helpful if that would happen tonight.
Somebody's going to have to do it. If Bryce is out for any period of time, where's their offense coming from? There's a reason that they paid Schwarber and Castellanos the money they paid them. It's got to come from those guys.
Well, Jason, thanks so much. At least you gave us something. You always give us something to think about. But maybe we can have some positivity. Maybe Schwarber can get on that roll. This team could have a couple hot weeks, and we can just feel like we're in it. Because right now, a lot of the fans feel like they're out of it. So thanks so much for the time, man.
Tyrone, talk to you soon, man. Thanks.
All right. That was Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer there, brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Everfresh, nature's refreshment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.